Your favorite book is?
Eric? I don't think I have a favorite book.
The last book you read?
Well, that's just some old novel that was laying around. I'm trying to remember.
De Wereld Gaat een Vlijt Een Ander.
I was thinking about that book, exactly. That might actually be a favorite book. I haven't read that in ages. De Wereld Gaat aan Vlijt Een Ander.
Max Dendermonde.
Somewhere
in the 60s. It's kind of written as a Hollywood movie script. You can see the Technicolor landscapes. Do you know it?
Yeah, I've read it. I've read it for my exam list.
Okay.
Because my mother had it, and so I didn't have to go to the library. Yeah,
so all of his other books are crap.
I just read that one because my mother had that one.
It's pretty good.
I found a couple of old books in a secondhand shop, and I thought, oh, I like this one. You'll like the rest as well, but didn't.
One hit wonder.
Yeah,
probably.
Maybe.
One Day Fly.
And for you?
Well, that would be one of them. I read lots of trashy science fiction. I have my favorites, but it wouldn't mean much.
And like Asimov and stuff like that?
Yeah. Heinlein was good. Yeah. Heinlein is always good when you're 14.
Do you read a book more than once?
Some of them. But which one?
Which one? Oh, The Secret History I read at least a couple times. And sometimes when I'm going to sleep and I just finished my other book, I usually sleep before reading, read before sleeping. And sometimes I just can't find something new or just pick an old book that I've already had. And it's just a matter of falling asleep then.
Do you have a hero?
No.
Did you have a hero when you were little? Less taller, smaller.
No, kind of boring now. Let me think about that, but I don't think so.
And Eric, apart from Just, who
I thought Niki Lauda was pretty cool.
Before the crash, or after?
Or after? I'm not sure. He didn't drive after his crash, did he?
I think as a six-year-old, I had a poster of Art Schenk, a famous ice skater. I don't know why I have that there. It was kind of a cool picture. He's ice skating really fast, but I can't say he was my hero. I didn't know anything about him. I mean, it's just a cool picture.
But don't you have any music heroes?
There's lots of music I like, but especially in retrospect, right now I don't have a particular musical hero. There have been times where I would listen more to some artists than others, but sorry, boring.
Okay.
Next question.
Next question.
Next, please. Just, what is your dearest possession?
My laptop. My children.
So you consider them your possession?
Yeah, trick question. Yeah, I don't know, my possession. My dearest possession.
My dearest
I don't
position.
Know. I have lots of crap that I actually want to get rid of. And I'm just too lazy to actually do that. And I was hoping to at some point actually start possessing less and less, but it's just not
cleaning
working.
Out.
Yeah.
You should try to move. That's good.
Well, I did that, and now I have lots of crap in boxes. So. It doesn't
and
work.
And a bigger house.
And a bigger house, so there's lots of room for all those boxes.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Eric, what's your dearest position then?
In a hammock. On my balcony. Slowly going back and forth. And falling asleep.
Sounds nice.
That sounds good right now.
Are you afraid?
I can worry a lot. Just give me any topic and I can lie awake about it.
You just? Are you afraid?
I have my insecurities, yeah, sure. There's not something that I'm specifically afraid of, but Sure, there's...
Do you worry about the same things?
No, I think we worry about very different things.
But I think they even change daily. Worry about one thing and worry about another. That's okay, because then nobody feels left out. You got
okay.
Sort of cover the anxiety.
Yeah. Aren't we great interviewees?
Okay. Going to the next question.
Don't worry.
Edit here.
Well,
some post-processing.
Well, I always wanted to ask you, because what I think is, like, you are sort of technically inclined designers.
You can call us geeks.
Yeah. Well,
it's sort of maybe too offended.
But it's like, it's always, like, the technical side is always serving the design. What is more important? Is playing around with the technical side the fun, or the end result?
Is, we don't really see the difference all that much. There is not, here's the technical side, there's the design. I mean, it's really interwoven to a very extreme level. And that's basically also the reason why at the Type Media course we are teaching them, to an extent, how to program. Not for them to become programmers, but to have a sort of maybe deeper understanding for how a computer works. That seemed to help most people in how they think about certain things. It's when we program, like our presentation was completely programmed. It's not that we have a program and then start designing stuff. I mean, it's all fairly primitive, actually. I mean, if we want to change a color of a background, we go into the code and change that a number in the code. This is something that we would sell to other people to make their presentations with. It's a very fluid kind of thing. Is that vague enough?
Probably.
Do you have anything to add about that?
No, I mean, there's a stand. I think it's sort of a well established answer by now, I suppose, but that if you're a designer and your work gets influenced by the tools you use, then picking your tools becomes very important. Mixing the paint the right way, choosing the right paper, finding the right pencil. Cooks that buy the right knives and hand cut them the right way. If you develop skills, you know how you want to work with particular, even musicians and instruments. You have very particular wishes. I want to have like these strings and that thing and this pick and all that stuff. But especially with creative disciplines, if you're not detailed enough or careless about how you choose things, you just end up in things that in design highways that will lead you to particular results quickly. But you will end up there with everybody else who's using the program the same way. So if you use Illustrator shallowly or InDesign or any of the programs, you will get to particular results, which are all right. It's decent. It's not bad. It's all right if you can sell it. But there are so many people doing the same things at the same time. With Excel spreadsheets or PowerPoints or Word documents, all of these things, that's all right. You know, you don't care if your spreadsheets look the same as anybody else. The numbers have to be different. With Photoshop, you do care if it looks the same because that's the stuff you're selling. So if your program has a visual effect on your design work, it's going to be part of your design work. You can go through a record shop and pick out the Photoshop filters. This is that.
That's not necessarily always bad, but I mean, it's just something to be aware of. Mm-hmm. Like, and how far are you the master of your software instead of that the software is leading you to certain results?
And I don't want to say that everybody has to program their own Photoshop. It doesn't have to be that extreme. But if you're a bit more aware of it, you could say, I see this particular effect, but this is not how I want it. This is the easy way to do it, but if you start compromising your ideas much, I mean, it's not black and white, but if you start compromising your ideas to the tools, then you'll just end up making bland, middle-of-the-road stuff. Whereas if you make your tools adapt to the ideas, say, I want a program that does this, and spend the time to make it, it might be a bad program, it might do only one thing, but I think a more interesting way of working.
But you, I mean, you don't always have to say, I want a program to do this. I want to do this. And then you find any way to do
it. Once you know how to build code or how to work with particular modules and systems, it's not like, I'm going to write a program. You're already building it. There's no, it's part of the design. That's the thing you just were saying, is that you know how things should be done, and you put it together. And part of that involves writing code. Some other part might be installing modules that somebody else wrote, or tweaking programs that already exist, or somehow getting it together.
Finding the hidden features sometimes.
You cannot.
You just have to use your tools creatively to begin with. And that's, and for us, using code is just a way of, getting around.
So once you know how to do it, there's no way to not not use it creatively, to not, if you know how to solve a particular problem and it involves code, it's not, oh, I'm going to do this or not. It's just, you're doing it already.
I think still one of our, in this respect, more interesting projects from the past, at some point we were commissioned to design a calendar, a wall calendar, and we were right away thinking, nice, we can code, because there's lots of repetition in there. You have to get those dates right. How many days are in the month February this year? And on every page there had to be a small version of the previous month and the next month. So there was really lots of repetition in there. So we started off making really simple sketches, like layout is probably going to be sort of like that, and maybe we're going to pick those fonts. And then we started writing a program to produce that. And once that actually worked, we would tweak all the variables, like the exact fonts, the exact sizes, spaces between columns and rows, color for certain elements, and actually have a list of the special holidays that had to be visually distinct. So basically what we did there is first complete the production of the artwork, and then finish off the design, which is, well, I mean, basically we were tweaking some parameters and hit run, and a few seconds later we had the calendar again. The nice thing about it was that for each design change that we did, we could actually see the effect on the entire calendar, because it really hardly took any time to just generate those 12 months and that extra page with the full year as small months on there.